great choice of songs. Brother John chose all those songs according to the texts. Thank you, John. Well done. A good and faithful servant. Colossians 1, go back there with me. Colossians chapter 1. Don't you love this book? This book. Bible, that's what it means. Don't you love this book, Colossians? Like Ephesians, like Galatians, like Philippians, like Matthew. Don't you love it? Love it. If you're born of God, like these Colossians, they heard the gospel, the word of truth, the grace of God and truth. They heard the truth. And they heard it. Boy, they fell in love with God, with His truth, with His salvation, with His Son. If called by the gospel, if you've heard Christ's voice, that's salvation. Christ said, "My sheep hear my voice." If you've heard His voice, you fall in love with His voice. If you fall in love with a person, you fall in love. Then, if you fall in love with a person, you love their voice, don't you? If they call you. Someone you love calls you on the phone. Someone you love, don't you love to hear their voice? On the contrary, it's a telemarketer. Why? There's somebody you love. Hey, good to hear from you. And you call on those you love, don't you? If you don't love them, you don't call them. Don't you love His gospel? Don't you love His word? This was written by men, but no, it was given by God. No scriptures of any personal, private interpretation. Given by God. This Colossians is a letter from a man to a church that he loved and they loved him. If you love the message, you generally love the messenger. It's a letter from a man to a people, but no, this is a letter from God to His people. This is a letter from the Father to His children. This is a letter, a word from the husband to his bride. He's been away. He's coming back. If you love him, you miss him. Speak, Lord. God's word is a biography. You know that? The whole book's a biography. Well, about who? Jesus Christ. God's Son. God's word is a history. It's history. About what? His story. About Christ and His people. God's word is a picture book. It's a family photo album. You have photo albums at home? Your family? God does too. All about His Son. Picture book. God's love. God's word is a letter of love to His people. It's a letter of instructions. It's a letter of instruction. It doesn't leave us to ourselves. Letter of instruction to His family until He comes. And this letter is so full. It's so full. We're still in chapter 1. Full of what? In Him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead. That's full of Christ. If you love Christ, you love this letter. It's a love letter. Are you with me? It's a salutation. He began, as you know, say Paul, an apostle to the saints, to the faithful brethren, in Christ, those in Christ, at Colossae, at Rocky Mountain. Those who know and believe God's Son and love His Son. They want to be found in Christ and want to know Him, be found in Him. Is that you? This is to you. You know what He says in His salutation? Grace to you. Peace from God. You know, God is our Father. God is the Father of His people. Christ is the only begotten, and all His people are begotten by God in Him. A word of salutation. It's a word of thanks, verse 3 and 4. We give thanks to God for you. We heard of your faith, your love. You have all the same. Do you thank God for His church? You played, "I love thy kingdom, Lord." Did you? You played it. Oh, I love it. Love it. The church is one foundation. Same thing. The church is one foundation. Is Jesus Christ. For her my tears shall fall. Kingdom of God. Now, who's that? Right here. These people right here. Love. Love together with the saints at the river. With the sheep. Do you? Do you? Come on now, do you? Word of thanks. A prayer. He prayed. He said, I pray since the day you heard of faith that God's given you in Christ and your love for the brethren, love for the truth. He said, I do not cease to pray that you might be filled with the knowledge of His will, all wisdom and understanding. You remember anything about that? What's God's will? It's the gather of in one, all things where? In Christ. You want to be gathered in Christ? You like to be at that gathering? You like to be at this gathering? Where Christ is praying. Oh, I'll give thanks. Give thanks for you. Be filled with that. Be filled with that. The knowledge of that. The Lord gathered me. The Lord gathered me. He didn't leave me to myself. He gathered me to His people. Into His gathering. Okay? That you might walk worthy. How's that? Like Christ. I want to walk like Christ. You know those who you love and admire. My oldest brother, he was my hero. Since I was a little boy, I looked up to him. He was a good friend to me. He did much for me. Taught me many things. Let me sit on his lap, Stephen. When I was about 12. Sit on his lap and drive his 57 MG. Whoa! I love that man. He taught me so many things. He protected me. I had two older brothers in school, so nobody touched me. He protected me. Loved him. He died. I love him even more now. That's my Lord. That's my Lord. He loved those that you admire, and you want to walk like him. I always wanted to be just like my older brother. Now I've got an elder brother, Jesus Christ. And he said, I pray that God might strengthen you with His glorious power. We believe according to that glorious power. And all patience. I want to patiently wait on the Lord, don't you? I want to be long-suffering. The Lord's long-suffering with me. I want to be long-suffering with others. I want to wait, watch, with joyfulness. That's a prayer, isn't it? I murmur and complain too much. If we murmur and complain at all, it's too much, isn't it? I want to be thankful, don't you? Joyful, not just thankful. Joyful, the joy of the Lord. Paul said it over and over again, didn't he? He said, in everything give thanks. Rejoice evermore, didn't he? And again I say rejoice. Why? God's made you His people. And everything He does is for your good. Everything. There's not one single thing that's not for our good. And everything's undeserving. We ought to be a joyful people. And then he said, give Him thanks. Verse 12. He said it again. We need to be so thankful. And God's people are, but not thankful enough. Give Him thanks. He's made us qualified and meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. Delivered us from darkness into His marvelous light. Translated us. Came and fetched us like old Mephibosheth. Brought us into His house. Sit at His table like His son. My, my. What a blessing. The kingdom of His dear Son. Is He dear to you? In whom we have redemption. Bought with a price. The price is His precious blood. Forgiveness of sins. The Lord has forgiven everything. Anybody got any past in here that you would love to wipe out, to blot out? Anybody? Anything in your past? Anything this morning? God has forgiven His people all the time because of that. What a blessing. So there's a salutation and a giving of thanks and an exhortation and a declaration of His salvation. Now is a description of Jesus Christ. All right? If you love Him, I'm going to describe Him to you. I'm going to try to describe Him to you right now. And you know, I could describe my brother to you. You've never seen him. You've met him. It wouldn't do any good, would it? But to those who know Him and love Him, all right, look at verse 15. Here's a description. He's the image of God, the invisible God. He's the firstborn of every creature. He's the image of God. Turn to Hebrews 1 with me. You might want to mark that and flip back and forth between it. He's the image of God. You know, God is spirit, whom no man hath seen nor can see. God is spirit. God the Father is spirit. Okay? But God was manifest in the flesh. Yes, He was. God came to this earth. Look at Hebrews 1. God, who at sundry times in divers manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, Hebrews 1, hath in these last days spoken to us by His Son, whom He hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also He made the world. Worlds. Who being the brightness of His glory and the express image of His person. Upholding all things by the word of His power. And on it goes. A description of Him. The express image. God took an image. God took a body. Not just the likeness of God. The express image of God. This is God. In a body. Right? A child is born. A virgin shall conceive. And bear a son. And His name is Emmanuel. Be interpreted God with us. A child is born. The son is given. Call His name what? Wonderful Counselor. The Mighty God. The Father. The Everlasting Father. See, I don't understand. I don't either. But I believe it. I believe Him. God was manifest in the flesh. God came to this earth. In the Old Testament, all the Old Testament saints, the Jews, the Jewish saints, like Isaiah, Jeremiah, they were looking for God to come to the earth, weren't they? The Holy One of Israel, God, is going to come down here. He'll save us. And Isaiah 25:9 speaks of Christ's coming. And this mountain will swallow up death and victory. And it says, they will say when He comes, this is our God. We've waited for Him. He'll save us. And He did. God came down here. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. The Word was God. And what took place? The Word was made flesh. God became a man. Or that is, took on the likeness of sinful flesh without sin. I don't understand. No, we don't. No one can, but we believe. It says, that's why He says He's the firstborn. In our text, verse 15, He's the firstborn of every creature. Turn to Proverbs 8 with me. Hold Hebrews. Proverbs chapter 8. Go back there. The firstborn. This is such a mystery. Such a mystery. But God walked this earth. The Creator of this earth walked upon this earth. It wasn't the first time. When He came 2,000 years, it wasn't the first time He walked this earth. Look at Proverbs 8, verse 22. And this is Christ. The Lord possessed me in the beginning of His way. Before His works of old, I was set up from everlasting. From the beginning Wherever the earth was, when there were no depths, I was brought forth. Does that mean that he, at some point, took a body? Now, I'm speaking things that I don't rightly understand. You understand? No. But a body. Did he always dwell in a body? I don't know. But there were, he had a body even years, millenniums ago. Right? Look at verse 26. While he had not made the earth, verse 27, he prepared the heavens. I was there. Verse 29, he gave the sea his decree and pointed the foundation. Verse 30, I was by him, brought up with him. I was daily his delight, like a son. But he's eternal. He never had a beginning. And look at this, verse 31, rejoicing in the habitable parts of the earth, and my delights were with the sons of men. You remember, we looked at that. It's many messages on his pre-incarnate appearances, how he came. When Adam and Eve sinned, the voice of God came walking. Someone, the Lord, came walking in the garden and talked to those first sinners. Who was that? Jesus Christ. And all in all. So, here's a description. He's the image of the invisible God, the body, the only bodily manifestation of God. The firstborn of every creature, the first body, as it were, of every creature. Look back at our text now. Colossians 1, verse 16. Well, by him were all things created, in heaven and earth, visible, invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by him. God is our creator, isn't it? Well, it says here that Jesus Christ created all things. Who created all things? God did. That means Christ is God, doesn't it? I have six verses of scripture I want to share with you. And Paul keeps saying over and over again that by him all things were created. Let me just share this one with you. And you go back to Hebrews. Let me share you this one in 1 Corinthians 8. It says here in 1 Corinthians 8, of him, same thing. Of him are all things. We in him, one Lord Jesus Christ, by whom are all things. And we by him. Hebrews 1, 2 says he, by whom also he made the worlds. Look at chapter 2, Hebrews chapter 2, verse 10. It became him, Jesus Christ, for whom are all things, and by whom are all things. See that? Christ made everything. Everything. He's the creator. Brothers and sisters, and all who listen to them, if Jesus Christ is not God, he's a blasphemer. He let people worship him. All of his disciples fell at his feet and worshiped him as God. And he said, you do well. You call me Lord and Master, you do well. For so I am. I am. Thomas fell at his feet and with his mouth said, my Lord and my God. And Christ let him worship him. He's God. Equal, not robbery to be equal with God. No. Because he is. Look at Hebrews 1. Oh, don't you love this? Let's listen to what the Father says about it. Now, shall we? Shall we? Oh, I love this. Don't you? Hebrews 1. Look at verse 6. Now, when he bringeth in the first begotten into the world, he saith that all the angels of God worship him. Verse 8, but unto the Son, he saith, thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. A scepter of righteousness is a scepter of thy kingdom. God the Father said of God the Son, your God, equal with me. There's a story in the Old Testament. Why am I saying all this? Because it's true. Because that's who he is. Because this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God. Who's that? That's God the Father and God the Son. Jesus Christ, whom he sent. If he wasn't God, everything he said was a lie. If he wasn't God, he didn't purge us from our sins. If he wasn't God, you'll find some ashes or bones somewhere in a tomb somewhere. No, he's God. Let all the angels, let everything that hath breath, Scripture says, worship him. Why? Because he's God. Because he's God. Oh man, a scepter of righteousness is a scepter of thy king, God our creator, God over all. Look at our text again. Now it says in verse 16, oh, if you love him, you love this description. All things were created by him, whether it be thrones, dominions, principalities, or powers. All things created by him and for him. A servant. All things. What's that? Devils. Good, evil, no matter what it is. Enemies, friends, everything created by him. They all do his bidding. There's nothing that's not under his absolute control and power. And it's all according to his purpose. And he worketh all things after the counsel, the purpose of his own will. And nobody can stay his hand. And nobody's independent doing anything of themselves. No, it's all of him, by him. He upholds all things by the word of his power. All things. Are you with me? Boy, this ought to put a smile on your face. There's nothing and no one that Jesus Christ doesn't have under his thumb right now. Manipulate. Do it his will. He's Lord. He's not a figurehead. He is Lord. He is Lord. And it says in verse 16, that things were created by him and for him. For him. Now stay with me. I haven't been long. I get tired of my own voice. I really do. But I'm the preacher. And many of you have been listening to me for years. I'm saying the same thing. Well, you better be glad I'm saying the same thing. But please, I'm doing this for God's glory and for your good. I'd rather be sitting where you're sitting. I really wouldn't. But I enjoy this. And if God gives me a glimpse of his son, I love to tell people about it. Okay? All things were created by him and for him. Everything is for him. Everything is for his glory. Psalm 19 talks about Christ. The whole psalm. It says, God created a tabernacle in the heaven for the son, who came as a strong man, rejoiced to run a race. Who's that? Jesus Christ. God made a universe. Why? To display his self. That's why he made it all. Yes. Did you love that? God made all things for his glory, a place to display his son. Look at my son. Angels, before there were men, they were angels. Look at my son. And they bowed and they worshipped him and they served him. God was pleased with them. And then one of them rose up and said, we want to reign. My son reigns. That's what this is all about. That's what this globe is all about. That's what this universe is all about. The Son. The Son. All things created for his pleasure. Listen to Revelation 4. I moved my marker. Shouldn't have. Revelation 4 says this. The people in glory are saying this. Thou art worthy, O Lord, speaking of Christ, to receive glory and honor and power, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created for his pleasure. And remember in Proverbs 8, he says his delights were with the sons of men. The first sinners,
Mother, Lord, what should the Lord have done with Adam and Eve? What should he have done with those ungrateful creatures of them? Huh? Why would they do that? Why would they do that to such love and such mercy? Why did we do that? But God, rich in mercy for his great love, he sent his son. He sent his son, go down there and talk to these sinners. Son, go down there and show them. Show them. I'm going to cast them out, but I'm going to bring them back in. Show them this good news. Tell them the good news, son. He said, I will. And he went down there. The word made flesh. Walked among them in the garden. The voice, sinner, Adam. Eve, come here. Come. And they came. Look. He cut a lamb's throat. He cut them skin. Now, it's not hopeless. There's hope that's in me. But go out into that world. But look to me. Call on me. I've made you a promise. I won't cast you out forever. His delights with the sons of men for his pleasure. It pleased the Lord to make you his people. Why would he want me? He just did. Nothing wantable about you. He just did. Oh, for his pleasure, for his dominion. All things were created for his dominion, for his rule. It's his kingdom. Everything. This world is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. Earth, the inhabitants thereof, belong to him. Psalm 8. The whole psalm speaks of him. Hebrews 2 quotes that psalm where it says he made him a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, but crowned with glory and honor. But he's put all things under his feet. We do not yet see all things under his feet, but we're going to. But everything is under his feet. Everything in this world, from the highest ruler on a seat of government to the lowest germ, is under the absolute control of Jesus Christ. Praise the Lord. For his dominion, for his work of redemption. You know why he created this world and everything in it? For his work of redemption. To show forth his greatest glory. God, his creation is glorious, but his salvation is infinitely more glorious. This is his crowning achievement. This is his crowning glory. God made a world for Jesus Christ to come into it and die for sinners. His crowning achievement, his greatest glory. He made this world to show forth the glory of Jesus Christ crucified. He called the lamb slain before the world began. See, that was the purpose of God. That's the whole will and counsel and purpose of God. Oh, who has entered into these things? Mind, will, and purpose of God. His work of redemption. And in the fullness of time, before the world began, Christ was with the Father, and they purposed this plan of this covenant of redemption. In Christ, that Christ would come down here for a fallen people and save them by his own death. Galatians 4 said, in the fullness of time, God sent forth his son, made of a woman, made under the law, to do what? To redeem them. He made a world for God, for his son to walk in. He made a woman for his son to be born in. He made trees for him to hang on one. He made the clouds to take him back to glory and bring him back to earth. All things were created by him and for him, for his remembrance. Everything is that human beings might see clearly that the Son of God reigns and rules. There's a sun that rises every day. Check that. It doesn't move. The sun doesn't move. It's always in the same place all the time, isn't it? That's Jesus Christ. We're the ones that turn away into darkness. He's the one that must turn us into his marvelous light.
that every human being sees that sign in the sky. He created all things for His Son, the Son of righteousness, His glory. He created the sea for Him to walk on it. He created the wind. Worship, my son. Worship, my son. Right? Spirit of God is the wind. What's He saying? Worship, son. There's a breath of life and holy. You can't say that without rolling up with Holy Spirit. The Spirit of God, the breath of God. With every breath of God, He says, worship my son. Look to my son. He created the wind for His glory. He created the sky for Christ to rise in it and go back to glory and to come again for every eye to see Him. He created the clouds, as I said, as the dust at His feet, as the chariot to take Him up, the chariot to bring Him back, the trees, as I said, that He was to hang on, the water, the rocks. Created the rocks. Why? Because He's the rock of ages. He's the cleft of rock. He's the sure foundation. He's the foundation stone. Everything in the universe hanging on Him. For Him. That's right. It's all about Jesus. All of that. Look at the next verse in our text. It says in verse 17, and He's before all things, and by Him all things consist. Before the world, yes. Above the world. Above everything and everyone. Above everything. God's Son. And He hath all preeminence. By Him all things consist. Were made and are still controlled and operated and live and move and have their being and their purpose and their direction from Jesus Christ. Everything. Every single thing. I've said that three times now. Let me say it a fourth, shall I? Because what does that do? No fear. No fear. My Lord runs this place. He's running me. He decides my breath. He gave it to me, and He's going to decide when to take it. He's already decided. All things. He upholds all things. And look at this, verse 18. He's the head of the body. He's the head. He's the head of all things. Of the body. He's the supreme one. Chapter 2, verse 9, chapter 2, verse 10 says, you're complete in Him, which is the head of all principalities. What would happen if they cut off your head? Well, you have no life. You have no light. You can't hear, you can't see, you can't do anything. It all comes from your head. He's the head. Christ is the head. The so-called church today is a headless body. They're running around like chickens with their head cut off. Doesn't the next chapter say that don't hold the head? Doesn't it, Jeanette? But verse 19 says they're not holding the head. Catholicism talks about the body, the church, the church, the church, the church. The church is nothing without the head. The head doesn't answer to the church. The church answers to the head. The body answers to the head. The body serves the head, doesn't it? The body. Every part of our body gets everything from our head. Everything. Like I said, our life, our understanding, our hearing, everything comes from the head. The body serves the head. Whatever my head says, my hand does. It's not independent. My foot does. Right? From the head. Well, that's the body of Christ. We serve Him. We take our orders from Him. He said, I'm the vine, you're the branches. Without me, you're just a dead branch, fit for the burning. But in me, you'll bear fruit. Fruit of what? Faith, love, joy, peace in Him. The head. We serve the head. And His body. We serve His body. That's His true church. And it says here, He's the firstborn from the dead. My, my. We need another hour. The firstborn from the dead. He's the first begotten of every creature, first bodily image of anything, anyone, the Son of God, the eternal Son, the firstborn from the dead. All things die. In Adam all die, but in Christ, all made alive. I'll show you a mystery. Everybody's going to die. We know that. But no, here's a mystery. In Christ, we made alive. We'll live again. We'll rise out of these bodies. That when Christ comes to this earth, and how do we know? How do we know there's going to be a resurrection? Because Christ said, "I'm the resurrection. I'm the life. You can't kill life. He's life. We're in Him. I'm the resurrection." How do we know He's God? He walked out of that grave. 3 days later, He said before He died, He said, "Now nobody takes my life from me. No man takes my life from me. I lay it down of myself. This is my Father that given me this. I came down here to lay down my life as a ransom, as a burnt offering for my people. I came to do it for my people, to put away their sin, to endure hell for them, to go through hell for them. But I won't be consumed. I won't stay dead. He will not suffer me, allow me to suffer corruption. In 3 days, I'm going to come walking out, proving everything I ever said was true. That in me is life. You believe me, you'll never die." And He came walking out of that grave 3 days later. God. And then they saw the clouds and the angels take Him out up into the sky. You know what the disciples said? "He is, isn't He? He is." They may have had some doubts before, but they don't now. He is God. He said, "You men of Israel?" The angel said, "Don't stand here gazing at the sky. The same Jesus who came shall so come in like manner." He's the head. He's the firstborn. That in all things, He might have the preeminence. Oh, my. What a poor preacher. What a poor attempt. As good as you can get. He has all preeminence. Eminence means station, rank, and repute, or reputation. And it says of Christ, He had all preeminence. He not only had this eminence, this station, rank, and reputation as all before the world began. But even when He came and after, He has all preeminence, He has all eminence. You know that they call some of these red-robed devils, these cardinals, you know that's what they call them? His eminence. That's what they call them. Jesus Christ had all preeminence. All preeminence. Station, rank, and repute. Because Philippians 2 says, He made Himself of no reputation, but took upon Him the form of a servant, made in the likeness of sinful flesh, without sin, took and suffered death, even the death of the cross. Therefore, God hath given Him a name above every name, with all preeminence, that at the name of Jesus Christ, every knee, when you hear it, should bow, and every tongue should confess, He's the eminent one. He's the Lord. He's all and in all. And the next time, we're going to try to talk about His fullness. Please, the Father in Him, all fullness. There's no full, nothing will fill you. Nothing will fill you except Jesus Christ. Okay.